Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Well, we already know that things are much larger in Texas, and that's what we have, an 8,000-pound granite monument in Hamilton County, Texas, of the Ten Commandments. This monument, more than 7 feet tall, definitely makes a statement. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber. Matt, you know, this is an amazing situation. Now, it's on private property. It's not public property, but this is an 8,000-pound monument made out of mountain red granite from Texas, of course. That's where the stone comes from. And so what originally happened here is in the summer, a Hamilton County man proposed, this was last year, a Ten Commandments monument for the county. He wanted to put it at the courthouse, but it ended up a few miles down the road. Johnny Klepper beamed as he helped install what he hopes will become a lasting legacy. He originally proposed the Ten Commandments monument at the Hamilton County Courthouse, but settled on a donated land next to the Sheriff's Department to end the county debate. The community was debating over whether or not they're going to get sued and so forth. So somebody said, here's some land. It's right next to the Sheriff's Department. We'll put it there. It's private property. No problem. So that's where it ultimately ended up. And he says, quote, I hope it changes people's hearts, changes people's lives. That's Johnny Klepper, the man who ultimately promoted this idea.
Yeah, and as the old song goes, the stars at night are big and bright deep in the heart of Texas. Well, so are the Ten Commandments signs. And this is Waco artist Rolando Sanez. I don't know how you say that, but this one hits a little close to home. I was born in Waco, Texas, and Hamilton County is nearby there, mm-hmm. McLennan County. But I'm sitting here looking at a picture of this Ten Commandments sign. It's massive. It's beautifully,
huge.
Beautifully done.
I mean, this is bigger than a vehicle. Vehicles don't weigh 8,000 pounds.
Yeah.
Unless it's a massive vehicle.
Yeah.
This is
huge. That's 4 tons. Yeah.
Yeah. Rolando actually just, it took about 2 months. He used a hammer and chisel, just hammered, he said, swinging the hammer, chiseling it to shape it the way it is. And they loaded it on a truck. It's got a big boom that they took it off the truck with, and they put it on the private property. Now, I think they could put it on public property.
That's what I was going to ask you. What would have been they kind of debated this and they acquiesced and capitulated and put it on private property, but they would have been fine, wouldn't they, if they had just put it on the sheriff's department property?
Yeah, you know, there's a whole, and the Supreme Court has to bring more clarity to this. They've really actually just gutted the what's called the Lemon Test as it relates to religious monuments, and that was for the Peace Cross in Blandinsburg, Maryland. The result of that case ultimately upheld the 78-year-old cross in Pensacola, Florida as well, just a recent ruling on that, because they've ultimately abandoned this terrible case called Lemon versus Kurtzman as it relates to these religious monuments that ultimately was frequently used to strike down different monuments across the country. We have defended Ten Commandments monuments in various states, and I actually had a Ten Commandments case that went to the United States Supreme Court. Since, by the way, I argued the case in 2005, there's not been, to my knowledge, one Ten Commandments case that's ever been lost. Every single one of them have been won. These are on public property, and we have defended both standalone Ten Commandments monuments as well as displays of the Ten Commandments in the context of other American law and government displays. I mean, you go back, for example, to the Ten Commandments in the book of Exodus. Those Ten Commandments have shaped American history, Judeo-Christian history, world history, history throughout the ages, obviously the Jewish history, and those changes have rippled down through history. I know there is a book called The Book of Dooms. Now, that sounds intimidating. It's a book that is the first compilation ever of common law. What's common law? Common law is law that's common to the community. Different kinds of common laws that developed over time before they ultimately got put in statutes where they were codified. These common laws were ultimately put together several hundred years ago in the book called the Book of Dooms. And in that particular book, it begins with the Ten Commandments as the epitome of all the common law growing out of the Ten Commandments. And we're talking about a book that is hundreds and hundreds of years old that compiled the very first compilation of common law, puts the Ten Commandments at the very front to show that the Ten Commandments is the foundation of all common laws throughout all these different cultures. And when you go, Matt, to the United States Supreme Court, the building was built in the 1920s. That building is full of the Ten Commandments inside and out, about 50 displays both inside and outside the Supreme Court of the United States. And the Ten Commandments are spread throughout Washington, D.C., and frankly, throughout the country.
And what's ironic is that you've got carvings of the Ten Commandments and of Moses and right in the Supreme Court,
in the
above the bench of the United States Supreme Court.
The only written inscription inside the United States Supreme Court is Moses with the Ten Commandments, the tablets. In fact, Moses is over the Chief Justice's head. It's not Moses. It's not somebody holding the, Bill of Rights, because I've never seen the Bill of Rights in Roman numerals.
Yeah.
All the other lawgivers or people throughout history that are carved around the top frieze of the Supreme Court inside, none of them have any writing, but Moses is also, again, if you're looking toward the bench on the right, and he's holding two tablets of stone, and they're actually, you can see the Hebrew. I read Hebrew, and so I can see, and it's the, it has parts of the Ten Commandments there in Hebrew. It's the only written inscription inside the Supreme Court. And then if you walk out...
Outside.
If you walk from the bench, the pews, they're like church pews, and you go out, you have to go out to the side. On each one of those iron gates that are at the edge of the benches on both sides, there's a Ten Commandments at eye level on both sides. There's multiple of them. Then you walk out into the Great Hall, that big oblong hall that is there as you enter into the Supreme Court and also come up from the steps. Every fifth figure is a profile of Moses with the Ten Commandments. Then you go outside, in fact, where our ministry center is on the backside of the Supreme Court in that arch, that triangle arch that is part of the roof at the very top. There's lawgivers that are there.
Dead center, the Ten Commandments
is, guess who? It's Moses with the Ten Commandments.
Moses sitting with one tablet of the Ten Commandments in each arm.
Yeah.
So the point of all of that is, it's absurd. It is revisionism. It is judicial and historical revisionism to try to somehow claim now that having our laws are based on the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
There is just no question about that. Look at the history. Read Blackstone's commentaries. You know, our laws are based on the Ten Commandments. There's historical value, but you know, the Supreme Court building was built a long time before, you know, any in the courthouse or the sheriff's department in Hamilton County, Texas. So there can be no reasonable argument against this, that this somehow violates the Establishment Clause when the very Supreme Court has the Ten Commandments and Moses all over the place.
Yeah, and in fact, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals out west, it's a seal for the court, has the Ten Commandments in it. And the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals seal is over 100 years old. And why is that there? Because it is a symbol of law. It has shaped our American law and government. I have a booklet. You can get that, download it from our website at Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org, called The Ten Commandments and American Law and Government. The Ten Commandments and American Law and Government. Because the Ten Commandments have profoundly shaped American law and government. Frankly, worldwide law, the idea of right and wrong, the idea of moral beliefs and foundations, all are shaped and based upon the Ten Commandments. Lots of our laws stem from and flow from the Ten Commandments, the laws of theft and murder, and other kinds of things as well. Go to Liberty Counsel's website. You can also visit lc.org or call us 407-875-1776 and ask for the download, The Ten Commandments in American Law and Government. It's a fascinating review because I go over each one of the Ten Commandments and how they have influenced American law and government. It's a fascinating read. Learn more about how these commandments have influenced law and morals throughout world history. LC.org, that's LC.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org.